Welcome to another episode of If Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
So Crow.
And this is Hot Sauce.
And this is episode 98 of If Lands Could Kill.
Oh, yeah.
98.
Holy shit, they're way too close. Are you ready for 100?
You know what?
We're not ready for 100. Yeah, we're
not even close.
We'll get there, though. You know.
So, 98. Pressure's on. We were 13?
We were not 13.
12?
We were not 12. I was 11.
How old were you?
In
98.
Yeah, I was 12.
Oh, I guess I was fucking right then.
That's fucking
asshole. Sure?
Yeah. Because I was born at 85, and you're a young little lad.
You're born at 87.
I was born at 87.
Damn, son. Yeah, then we're old.
So what was the Happy Haps in 98? It was like TRL, you know.
Pokemon. Pokemon for sure, actually.
Yeah.
They're
Pokemon
indeed.
For sure. Yo-yos.
That's guaranteed.
Real, though.
Yeah,
like,
they,
I think,
remember
like,
the Bumblebee?
Yeah, like the Bumblebee.
Yeah, that shit was.
Shit.
Yeah, I had, the ones where you just like, yeah, crack the fuck out of your
I
knuckles.
Had like the white aluminum yo-yo. Like the.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the. I don't even know how much it was, but it was probably like my entire birthday gift.
It was expensive. <though. You know? laughs> You guys remember those like specialized frisbees that had like the finger thing in the middle so you could spin it on there?
I do not know that.
No?
No.
You remember those ones?
That's advanced tech.
That, yeah, same thing they sold at the schools with the yo-yos. You had those frisbees and they had like a little small like
little
pocket disc in there where you put your finger and you could.
Okay.
Like a basketball spin, and they're like, yeah.
And you
get
impressive.
It going and throw it like that. Yeah.
They're like, well, look at that. And then it falls over and it's like, he was cheating the whole time. Look at the bottom of it.
I remember.
You
pull
your pants down.
Windows 98, of course.
Okay.
Classic. Well, I mean, that was a big deal.
For me, Mech Commander, the game.
Mech Commander.
Mech Commander was the shit. And my PC could barely run it with my. You know, 900 megahertz, and it's fucking 2 gigabyte hard drive. And then I remember when Mech Commander 2 came out, I had to use my mom's computer.
Oh,
because like, I had like the hand me down, like whatever the fuck
yeah,
they
yeah.
didn't want to use anymore.
The fucking Macintosh.
Yeah, right. Whatever it was.
Green
and then
screen.
She had like this laptop from her job, and it had Windows 2000, and it had like, you know, it was like top of the line at the time. And I'm like, oh my god, I get to play Mech Commander 2 in all its glory. Yeah.
For me, my biggest part of 98 was the Padres' greatest season going into the World Series. So that was a whole big part of 98 for me.
Yeah, nice. I went to one of the games. It was unfortunate
like
that
during,
they didn't.
Like the season? You went to a regular game?
No, during the.
You went to a playoff game?
No, the World Series.
You didn't go to the World Series.
I went to the World Series.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah, so suck on my dick.
Damn!
Wow,
that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Qualcomm,
very jealous.
At Jack Murphy Stadium.
Jack Murphy.
If you hadn't corrected yourself, you were getting punched in the ribs hard right now.
See,
I've lived, a major thing.
We've all lived here. We're fine, okay? So
see, like,
I know, but my dad still doesn't know. Like, oh, it's Qualcomm. Like, he said that to talking to anybody randomly, and I hit him every time in front of him.
See, I always give you guys shit about, you know, like in sports and, oh, fucking Charger fucking queers, you know? Like, see, I used to be a diehard Padres and Chargers fan, but my heart's just been broken too many times that I just gave up. I just gave up on sports. I just gave up on
life,
yeah.
Alcohol, weed.
Yeah, I just, too many
give
times.
Give a lot, man. What are you doing nowadays? Jesus.
Well, what I am doing is sitting here talking to my co-hosts, Hot Sauce and Mr. So and Crow. And if you're not familiar with this podcast, we like to shoot the shit for about, I don't know, a little while. And then we like to talk about magic. So strap in, strap on, and let's go. Well, how has your week been, Hot Sauce?
So update.
You're the new first.
Yeah,
the new first guy.
So I got to start with Reich stuff now. I had another thing to talk about.
No.
Now I got to talk with the Reich thing.
Start with your stuff.
So I found out that it is illegal in California to own a weapon, a gun, and not have a safe. So I had to buy a safe. I went out to like I did like a gun transfer at like it's funny because it's out of a guy's garage, but you like. Like, the garage, it's in Santee, and, like, the fucking, you go, you drive up, and you're driving down the street, and I'm like, oh, what house is it? And you see the house, you're like, that's definitely the house.
There's, Confederate flags all over the front lawn.
Yeah. Like, what is it, the fucking Dukes of Hazzard vehicle, you know, yeah. Challenger, whatever it was. Charger, my bad.
General
Anyways,
Lee.
Yeah, General Lee, thank you. That guy's been dead for a long time. So, when you like, the
sure
garage door,
out, though.
It doesn't have, well, it might have a garage door, but it, in place of the garage door, what it seemed like to me is nothing but those heavy plastic like drapes that like for like a back of like a Vaughn's or like a Albertson's or whatever before you go back
into freezer,
like the freezer area. It's just nothing but that, so you can't see through it.
Because it's all camo colored.
Yeah, because it's all camo colored. Well, we said the Confederate flag, right? So they have that. Super expensive. I'm glad they got it. So anyways, you walk through, and they give you like literally 2 feet before it goes to like their like desk area. It's like a long like bar style table that goes from like wall to wall, and they have like people working there. There's like 4 people back there, and there's guns just everywhere, and it's just safe after safe, like the entire garage.
Are you sure this is illegal? Like,
no, it's legal. No, I know
this wasn't like underground, like backwoods white supremacist.
I actually do know for not joking sake. Then yeah, it's absolutely legit. Yes.
So just let me recap. So you needed a safe for your gun. You went to some guy's house with no garage door, and you walked inside, and there was a bunch of white people and a bunch of guns. And they were working.
Yes.
Smoking meth in the bathroom.
Wasn't a crack dance, basically. You should see this place. I'm like, it was like a legitimate business. There was like very many businessy things all about it.
There was like staplers and shit.
Yeah.
My staplers.
Yeah. One 386 computer from 1994.
Some shitty fax machine.
Yeah.
Calendar.
Anyways, so I do that.
You can hear dial up in the background.
Damn it. Who picked up the telephone? Yeah. So did this whole thing. But it was just like a very unique experience just walking into a person's house and like, or their garage and doing the whole thing.
That seems weird.
So I took my little fucking, you take your little gun test, whatever. I did the gun transfer. And then when we're doing the transfer, they're like, oh, so we have like a safe affidavit for you to fucking sign or whatever. And I'm like, okay. And I look at it.
Affidavit.
Yeah. I don't care, dude.
I know. Just Alpha David. I had to make a comment.
It's a fucking safe form.
It's a call sign.
Yeah, it's a call sign. And Alpha David is stupid. Broom, 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 broom. Alpha David. David. Alpha David. Al's.
Okay.
Move
stop,
on.
Stop
move
it.
On. Move on. Al's a David. All right. So, anyways, I look at that thing and I'm like, oh, I can't sign this. I don't have a safe. I didn't tell him that. I'm like, oh yeah, I got a safe. And then I just like took the form home and I got to like bring it in when the, because I have to wait 10 days before I get the gun back. So I bought a fucking safe that like, it mounts in between your studs and your wall and it's like flush mount. It looks like an electrical panel inside of like an apartment. You'd have like, you look in the closet and there'd be like a big fucking gray thing in the wall. And that's what it is now. So I can like hide it behind the clothes and it's just like a fucking cabinet and shit like that. It's really like, it's like only like 3.5 inches deep and like a stud bay. So like maybe like round, I think it's around like 15 inches of what they have it. So, but I have a safe now.
Exciting.
I feel like a real gun owner. Like I have a gun safe. And so did that. That's my Reich news. I had to do the whole thing. But I fucked up. I was like, oh, I illegally have had this gun for a while. Whoops.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. So, moving on past that, update on the house is that remember like the last episode?
Apocaflood 2.0.
Yeah, exactly. I had a second flood. And
both having to do with the bathroom and shitty problems.
Yep. Yep. Two different bathrooms now are the targets. One more to go. Anyways, that whole thing went down and I rented a bunch of fucking equipment and I had it in there for 4 days and we were just like living in loud ass hell for a while because everything is super loud and the
just fucking humidifiers.
Yeah, and the dehumidifier is like it pumps out like, well, the point is that pumps out hot air instead.
Yeah.
So like the downstairs was just fucked. Can't like watch TV, can't do anything. We just have to like go up in the bedroom and like watch TV up there. Anytime we're home, we just gotta be in the bedroom or whatever. Or in like the office or something. So that was
still
shitty.
The fans are still going right now?
No, not now.
Okay.
But I mean it happened for from whatever Thursday till Tuesday or something like that, whatever it was. So that fucking happened, and I'm like in the middle of, I put the drywall back, and I patched it with like, mud and shit, but I haven't sanded it and painted it or whatever, but it's fucking annoying. The stove is still like in the fucking dining room, and shit's still like a mess, You don't want to clean it, because you're just going to have to fucking clean it again once when you sand stuff, it's just going to fucking create a mess.
It's just
so
all
like,
dusty as fuck.
You just have like, cups that have been in the sink for fucking 2 weeks now or whatever, like whatever. We saw Star Wars, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're talking about that later. We're going to do a little spoiler cast segment where at the end of the episode we'll have it where we're going to talk about Star Wars Rogue One. Star Wars story. And then you guys can fucking, you haven't seen it, please tune out at that point. And that'll just be the remainder of the cast.
We'll give you plenty of heads up.
Yeah, plenty. A large disclaimer.
But Crow's probably bring it up sometime. But the funny moment in the theater, right?
That was good.
So like we went to a theater, assigned seating and the fucking leather couches and all that shit. It was really, really nice time, you know.
It was you and Crow, correct?
Me and Crow, yeah. And so we got our beers, you know, we're hanging out, and so I'm one beer in at this point, you know, just enough to like, oh, I feel it, I'm a little looser, you know. And we're watching the trailers, and there's this fucking trailer for some movie. It's like a cartoon. It's like a cartoon one. It's like really bad art style, really bad like frame rate. It's just like some guy on an island.
Yeah, some horrible, it's like a Castaway type story.
It looks crazy. And it's like one of those oh, it's so simple yet so powerful. You know, like they don't like hardly talk in the movie, and it's total bullshit, total indie bullshit. You know,
okay.
And it didn't have any like fit or flow with the rest of the, you know, normal trailers that would be with like a Star Wars or Marvel franchise. Totally, totally bullshit. So we're watching it, and we could just tell, me and Crow look at each other like, this is so stupid, you know? And right when it goes to, like, the title of the movie, and it's like, da-na, and, like, you know, the sun rises or whatever fucking emotional shit at the very end of it, I was like, boo!
It was great. Like, this theater starts laughing a little bit behind.
Yeah, the theater fucking laughs. You know,
you look at the old people like feel like it's awkward. Like he said boo. Yeah.
But everyone's having a good time. You can tell everyone's like, you know, in a good mood. So like more than half the theater laughed. It was a good time. It's not often. I tell this the story because it's not often you have, you know, 50 people laugh at something you say. It's the opportunity without doing like stand up or something like in the media besides, you know, podcasting, which we don't know if anyone's laughing. And that was a good moment, you know. I was like, ah, now my confidence is sky high for the rest of the night, you know. So I thought that was funny, but that trailer was terrible. So
oh god,
it deserved the boo. You know, it wasn't even inappropriate; it was very appropriate. So if anyone sees that movie, you can fucking not listen to this cast anymore.
Feel free to boo
go
it.
Go in a hole and die. Yeah.
They were probably LSV fans.
Yeah, no shit, huh? Yeah. I don't really have much to say. I mean, I've been just doing like the work with that shit. I had like a side job where I'm in the middle of installing like a new security camera set at like an optometry office. Just like I'm not working, so picking up little side stuff here and there, you know, and that's been pretty good. You kind of, you know, you work on your own time and like you, now I'm hungry, I'm just going to like leave and nobody can say a fucking thing. I could just, you know, leave whenever I want. So I was able to just kind of relax, headphone in my ear, you know, and it was chill. But I don't really have anything to say. I mean,
been listening to a lot of podcasts lately with
you know what?
Free time?
I have. Well, okay, so I wanted to recommend something to you guys, actually. This is kind of something we can do off the cast, but...
Ah, fuck it.
The latest episode of the Rooster Teeth podcast, it's like their 8th anniversary, and they did a live podcast. They got like a small venue, like a 140-person venue, and they had a live podcast, and they had a guest, which is Jeff Keighley, which is like the guy... He's like what is that fucking guy that does Talking Dead? Chris, whatever the fuck his name is, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, whatever, the Nerdist guy, you know what I mean? Anyways, this is like, he's like a Carson Daly type character. He's like always,
whenever it's
like...
He has a big forehead?
What's that?
He has a big forehead?
Maybe.
Carson Daly has a huge forehead. You know, remember?
Biggest forehead. Nobody has a bigger forehead than him. Yeah.
Well, Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning, actually, you're right, he wins. He wins the fucking five-head contest here.
It's more of a six-head on that
Maybe
point.
A six-head, yeah. So, anyways, Jeff Keighley is like... Like, whenever they have gaming awards, he's always the host. Whenever they have, like, you know, like, the YouTube-style news shit they would have, like, you know, before it got popular, he'd always be the guy. He was, like, the gaming news guy, you know?
Okay.
So they had him on. That was cool. But the point is that they were having conversation that was really similar to the conversation, like, the bullshitting that we would have.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of dick vagina talk, and it was really funny. And it was in a live audience, so it's just funny hearing, like, all the...
The laughter.
Yeah, the laughter and all this shit. So I don't want to recommend too many episodes from them, but they had all the right people on and a guest host in a live venue. You know, everyone's been drinking. It was fucking, and it's an excellent episode. So I think it was like episode 406 from
that. The spoiler cast disclaimer.
Yeah, that'll be the sound.
Yeah. What podcast you been listening to?
Same old, same old. Okay. Just still trying out, different stuff on MTG Cast and, I mean, nothing new and exciting still. Just
definitely nothing exciting, Magic and Hash.
Well, they're not even. They're not even. They're not even like on the radar
not,
anymore.
Not even close.
Yeah. MTG Cast kicked them off.
Yeah, they're gone.
Gone.
Yeah,
forever.
That's so funny. They kicked them off. Yeah. Like the first podcast to be kicked off MTG Cast.
Yep. Pretty great. Pretty great. I figured that we would have more banter on our fucking MTG Cast thing, but we didn't have enough. There's only like a little bit as far as the back and forth. You know what I mean between us and them.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well,
and like I thought it would be like a whole thing where that you know. We just have a week of just like the comment section would be like 30 fucking comments deep, you know what I mean? But
yeah, their shit's weak.
Yeah, their shit's super weak.
Shit's weak.
So fuck you guys. Yeah, take it away, Crochacho.
So I haven't really used Redbox before, but I've been using it recently because I actually didn't see a lot of the different superhero movies that came out over the last 2 years or so.
What?
I know. I've been behind. I know.
How dare you?
Yeah. I've definitely been a fan of them, and I just happened to miss the last couple, several ones actually. So, I finally saw that shitty Batman vs. Superman movie, and I fucking loved it because it's a horror movie, but I loved it because I hate Superman, and to watch him get his fucking ass kicked and die is great.
Well, spoiler, I haven't seen it
it's
yet.
It's like 2 years old.
Good job.
Oh, jeez. Fuck, you're obviously not going to see it.
I'm not, obviously not, yeah, you're right. It was on at, like, a fucking dentist, no, it wasn't a dentist office, it was just like a clinic, and I'm sitting there waiting, and it's like playing. And I'm like, I don't even want to watch. Even, I don't want to watch it. Like, I don't care about this. I'm going to just look at
You're like
phone.
Waiting for an AIDS test. You're like, I'd rather have AIDS than watch this movie.
Can you tell me I'm positive so I can get the fuck out of here?
And then I finally saw Captain America, the Winter Soldier movie. And
what'd you think of that one?
I thought it was really good.
I thought
Winter
that
Soldier
one
was super good.
I thought Winter Soldier was really good. I thought it was.
Better than the first one?
Well, the first one was garbage, so anything's better than that. But. I was thinking it was even better than Civil War.
I agree. That's the next thing. I watched that, and then that was maybe able to watch Civil War. And I thought Civil War was good. I enjoyed it, but I thought Winter Soldier was better.
And Civil War was sweet. It's just that I feel like it was didn't have like enough story. Like the story was pretty weak in it. And even though the action sequence, like the you know the main one, was pretty epic.
Yeah, pretty.
You
sweet.
Know, and spoiler, like they have like Ant-Man in the movie, which Ant-Man I don't watch. I didn't watch that movie, but,
me either, but
him
I,
in
I,
this
I,
was really good.
Yeah.
So I was.
I ended up
pumped.
Watching that movie afterwards. And well, because I was like, okay, well now Paul Rudd is pretty funny as Ant-Man.
Paul Rudd's a funny guy.
He's great.
He's handsome.
I didn't give a shit about Ant-Man, so I didn't see it either.
And he's handsome.
No, of course. Ant-Man, I don't really recommend it. It's not very good.
So
but,
you just go on a binge of all
yeah,
these
honestly,
movies?
Honestly. Seriously, I've told you, I've been
well,
behind.
Well, Star Wars Galaxy's in his lap watching fucking six movies, basically. I can picture that. And the kid is, like, kind of there, but he's kind of, like, just
no,
going
I didn't get them
bit.
All at once. It was, like, a few days, like, spread out where I just get off of work, go to Redbox, get a movie, stay up and watch a movie, then go to sleep.
So the trick for me with Redbox is I would rent games that have single-player campaigns that I'm not interested in buying. So say, like, for example, Dishonored 2 is out right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dishonored 2 is, I'm sure, a great game, but it's not a game for me, so I'm never going to buy it. Even if it's like $15, I'm not interested in buying it. But Redbox, $2 a day, as long as I have a weekend where I can be like, no, I'm not doing anything on Sunday, I can go ahead and just bust through that fucking campaign in a day or two,
yeah.
And then return it, and I pay $4.
Yeah.
So I used to do that.
Well, it was $3 a day for video games. But
is it $3 a day? It was $2 a day. So yeah, I would just do that, and that's why... I haven't done it lately, but, like, Battlefield 1 is the same thing where I know Battlefield 1 is probably... I would probably say it's maybe the best game of the year from, like... I haven't played it, but just seeing reactions and seeing, like, videos. But I've mentioned before that Battlefield is not a game for us. Battlefield is a game for people that are younger that have a lot of friends that will all play with them. And you can get together with four people or more and be on a team and have a great time. But by yourself, you know, even with a headset, you're not going to have... the teamwork, you know what I mean? So
yeah, not
the single player campaign, it seems
this
good.
This is perfect time for me to lead into what I was going to get into next. Is when I went to go rent Ant-Man, it gave me a free, like, oh, look at you, you had a free game rental today. So I was like, okay, well, after all those videos on seeing a Battlefield 1, like I talked before about how I'm not a fan of the Battlefield series, but I was hoping they had updated, like, you know, the spawning situations I didn't like and things like that, and how great this game looks. I'm like, okay, well, free game, okay, sure. I know, like, the trap is to get you to, like, you know, get that free day, get a few days, whatever. So I got Battlefield 1, and my God, it's fucking awesome.
The campaign, you mean?
I played, like, there's multiple different little campaigns. They're not, like, super long each, but they have, like, multiple missions for each one. It's a different person telling a different story. Like, at one point, you can be, like, a pilot. At one point, you're doing a tank campaign, and there's, like, I don't know, six or eight different campaigns.
Okay, okay.
You're doing different people's lives in that thing. So, it's, like, I played the airplane one so far, which from there... For me, I haven't been a big fan in the past of games that had, like, dogfights and things like that.
Because it's just usually...
Well, it's cruel.
Okay, well...
It is. It is cool.
I don't have to explain dogfights, right?
Cruella de Vil.
Oh. Airplane battles in World War One.
Yeah, just call it dogfights. It's fine.
They were called dogfights.
I know. It's a joke.
Well, now I got the cast, you're idiots, and number of other people out there, whatever. So I haven't been a fan of those.
Knife was funny. Knife said a funny thing.
The mechanics are usually not very good, like the flight patterns and different things, and like, oh, you try to get dizzy because you can't stay, you know, combobulated. You get discombobulated.
Yeah.
So this... The dogfights in this are actually really good. I was very impressed. Like, it's the first airplane fighting game that I've actually enjoyed for that.
Okay,
that
cool.
Little campaign it was.
So, I don't know if you've seen, but like, I guess this could be a little spoiler for the game or something. But the clip that I watched is, say, I don't know where it's at exactly, but you're storming the beach on Normandy or whatever the hell it was, and when you die, you don't just respawn at the last checkpoint. It shows the person's name and the date of birth and when they lived to, which was like the present day, you know, that day. And then it automatically moves you to another soldier in the same storm or the beach or whatever.
That's not actually the campaign.
That's fine. That's just
the opening credits.
Opening credits. Okay, that's what I saw.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
That's super cool that like you don't actually just go back to the checkpoint. They just push you and you can just go ahead and die as many times as you want. And you'll just spawn as a different character with a different weapon and whatever else. All along the same beach, and it's like that's
yeah. None
awesome.
Of the spots have a spot like you're guaranteed to die now. It's like pretty much like trench warfare, wave enemies until you die. So you live and just keep fighting until you eventually die to go to the next person. But it is a pretty sweet opening credits of the game. It's like it gives you it makes you go through all the gameplay except for
flight.
Excuse me. Thank you. So everything from on the ground, you're in a tank at one point. You're different, different kind of fighters. It's pretty cool. It is a good opening to the game.
Yeah, I just saw that thing, and I'm like, I've never seen that in a game, and that's unique, and I approve.
Yeah. And so from there, I haven't played, like, the big, like, 20-on-20 map of all the different, like, tanks and the Zephyrs and all that.
Where you just
have
everything available to you. Yeah.
I've only played, like, the team deathmatch, and that alone is fucking damn good.
Okay.
It's actually a lot of fun. To the point where as soon as I, like, I still have it rented at the moment, which is longer than I intended to keep it. But as soon as I was playing it, I was like, okay, adding this to my Christmas list because now this game is fucking awesome.
Okay.
I definitely suggest it. It's fucking good.
I guess, I mean, maybe. I haven't rented it yet, so maybe if it's cheap enough, I'll just buy it. Screw it.
So, you end up skipping past one thing I was going to talk about with the Civil War was, you know, the new Spider-Man was in that. And I didn't realize this, but I saw the new Spider-Man's trailer where it has, you know, Iron Man, like, teaching him about, you know, keeping this shit together and staying in school and all kind of jazz and teaching the young Spider-Man. That's actually the same actor that's in Civil War. And he's fucking funny and does a good job in Civil War. So
he's like a kid.
Yeah.
He's like an 18-year-old that looks like a 14-year-old.
Yeah. That's the point. Like, they're doing like a backward story on Spider-Man with Iron Man teaching him how to, you know, keep shit together. But like, that makes me that much more excited to see the new Spider-Man.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like,
he was good.
I don't have anything against Spider-Man, but I've never been like super into him at all. But
no,
that made me wanted to watch like the new Spider-Man a lot. Like, I thought he was fucking really good.
I wouldn't have watched the old movies, except the fact that we were just young. So like, just watching those movies was like appropriate for our age. But like, if those Tobey Maguire whatever movies came out, you know, now I'd be like, I'm not interested in watching a PG Spider-Man movie.
Pop
you know?
Quiz: who's your favorite superhero?
Joker.
Superhero.
I'm going with Joker. I don't care.
The Flash.
Said here.
Really? Huh. I'd have to go Spider-Man.
Cool.
All right, cool.
Excellent.
Yeah, good to know where we stand.
Yeah, I'm evil.
So I tried to watch the TV show, The Flash, and I didn't really watch it, so.
You just like the fucking theme song. Flash!
That's different.
Save the universe!
Totally, I know. Same thing, though. Same but different. No, I don't know. As a kid, like, I don't know what... Maybe I had some comics that were just kind of, like, given to me or something, but for some reason, Flash was, like, the superhero when I was, you know... pre-10 years old, you know what I mean? So,
did you guys see the Spider-Mans that were after Tobey Maguire?
No.
They're actually pretty good. I enjoyed them.
I think it was Spider-Man 3 or whatever.
Oh, that was a joke.
Oh, my
God.
So bad.
So bad.
There was a scene in it where, like, he's, like, you know, flinging through the city with his webs, and it like slows down, and there's like an American flag like slowly flapping
on top
in the
of a
background.
Building or whatever.
Yeah,
it was like a video billboard, I think.
And I was like, "Oh, really? Like, you're just reaching for the lowest common denominator here, right? You're just like, well, this movie sucks, so America.
Yeah.
If you don't like this movie, you're a terrorist. You know? What a piece of shit."
There's the same thing where like. In that movie, which I didn't finish, I just watched like a half hour, and I'm like, no way.
Yep.
So there was a part where like the cops are showing up at his house or something like that in his apartment, and he's like in the room, and you can see like the red and blue flashing lights in the window or whatever, and they go to a different room, and there's still like red and blue flashing lights, but in, you know, where room they're in now, there just can't be the red and blue flashing lights anymore because they're like a different part of the house or whatever, and I'm like, but the cops are over here. There's nothing back where this other room
There's
is at.
There's not even
like,
any windows
yeah,
in that room.
Like, why? What the fuck?
They're in the basement.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is this? You know, but anyways, it's just stupid things where they, there was, you know, where certain shows or movies have like, they're bulletproof in the way that you can't like find it, hardly any mistakes in it or whatever. And this one, they're just sloppy. You know, this movie is really sloppy.
It's like a
so.
Fucking Afghan.
Yeah. Super.
A lot of Afghan. Holes in it.
So Hot Sauce mentioned we went and saw the new Star Wars movie, and he made talked about his funniest part of the story with the boo and that other thing. Something else funny happened though, and got a touch of the feel of the old school Hot Sauce, which was kind of an asshole to other people. It was great, but it was funny. So we just sat down, and like this girl comes, the group of people come right behind us, and they're sitting down, maybe like three or four or five or whatever. And first, like you can hear the girl talking, and she's like, "Oh, you sat me in chair 12, which is Hot Sauce sitting in 13. I was in 14, and." And then she starts talking, like, you basically saying, you made me sit next to this strange dude without saying that you made me sit next to some other guy. And so she's like trying to like be obvious, like not obvious about it, but it's kind of funny. Like she didn't want to sit next to Jace, sit next to
she's
Hot
trying
Sauce.
To get at it, switching seats.
And so her boyfriend like switched seats there, they sits down, and his buddy makes a comment about like sitting in his lap. And Hot Sauce chimes in, "Yeah, man, just sit in his lap."
He's like, just sit on my lap, bro. And the guy's like, "What? I'm like, come on, dude. I'm not sitting in your lap." And he's, you're trying to like have a fun time with him, whatever. And then, I was just like, "Dude, sit on his fucking lap, bro." And they all start laughing.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where it's like either they're gonna look at you awkward, like, "Oh my god, don't talk to me. You're a stranger," or they're gonna get it and laugh along with you.
It's a thing where,
and either way, it's kind of funny.
I made a comment. I didn't even have eye contact with these people the whole time. I don't even know what these people are. I don't even know what girl you're talking about, basically.
I know, you were paying attention.
I wasn't paying
funny.
Attention. All I know is I heard someone having a fun time, and I'm like, I need to chime in. That's all it was. But I still didn't even know what these people look like or how many people there were. I just was like, sit on this fucking lab, bro.
So, yeah, that was fun, and we had a good time seeing the movie together. Again, thank you. I know your lady backed out, so why you gave me were able to invite me with you, but it was a
you're a good second
good
choice.
You're his side lady.
I'm okay with that. And my wife's like, "Oh yeah, I know you saw the movie with your boyfriend."
Yeah, so we held hands.
But that was my first experience sitting in one of those theaters, like with the reclining chairs and shit. I'm like, damn, that was quite pleasant.
Our tickets were $1.25 more than a normal theater. So
we spent like $2 each more than Knife over here, and you got there two and a half hours.
Oh yeah,
early,
talk about yours when you get to yours. That's interesting.
And we showed up like 20 minutes before and had a beer.
Up,
So yeah, it worked out nicely.
Different experiences. We got there. About
I mean, you
half
did
hour.
Hang out with his mom, and he didn't for his for the movie.
Yeah, well, I guess my fucking intro is gone. Anyways, fuck.
Yeah, well,
you can elaborate. Go ahead.
Woo! I went to go see Star Wars as well. My brother bought tickets for the whole family, and we went to a poor people's theater, a regular, non-leather.
Bad choice theater.
Yeah.
$1.25 savings.
Do you have any annoying kids behind you or anything?
No, actually.
Yeah,
so
I think Elena, I think your lady said something about like something annoying behind you. No?
Oh, well, she's easily annoyed, so. So anyways.
Someone coughed. She's like, "Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. We're getting out of here. Refund the tickets. We're going to some other time."
So we had, my last final on Thursday. So right after finals, I immediately went to the theater, and the movie started at 8:30, and I got there around, like, a little bit after 6, and I went to go, like, find the lines of people waiting. And I was like, "Hey, is that the line for the 8:30 movie?" And they're like, "No, that's the line for like the 7 and the 7:15 and the 7:45. I'm like, "Oh, well, I guess I'm just early as fuck." So I just went and fucking sat down, leaned against the wall playing the Star Wars Galaxy Heroes. and this fucking this dad and this his daughter come right behind me, and he sits down kind of next to me up against the wall, and I look over. I'm like, "Hey, you're playing Star Wars Galaxies too!" And so we kind of like shoot the shit about that. And his daughter was like super cute. She was like telling everyone like, "We're on father daughter date night," and blah blah blah. And like, you know, she's like, I don't know, 6 or 7. She's like introducing herself to people. Like, yeah, no, she's like 24. We're on father daughter date
night.
I'm
wondering, like, yeah, she's super cute. I'm like, are you getting ready to hit on her, or is she a little kid?
Well, maybe.
And either way, are you gonna hit on her?
So
what's the best thing about a 29-year-old?
So it was just cute. She was like, you know, "Hey, what's your name? I went to go see the Force Awakens." You know, I was like, anyways,
I was only 3.
Is this girl like a female Yoda?
I went to see the Force Awakens.
That was your voice.
Okay, good.
Go ahead.
So anyways, you know, the line for the 7:45 movie fucking went in or whatever. And then so I'm like the first one in line for the 8:30, and then there's like a group of fucking nerds.
Like, right, says the guy who was first in line, right, 2.5 hours early,
right behind me. But these, you know, okay, so it's totally different. So like, if you're in the group, then everything everyone's saying is like funny, you know. And then if you're outside that group, you're like, what a bunch of fucking idiots, you know, like they're making stupid jokes, and you're like, God, shut up. So I can.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I was in the group, I'd be like, "Oh, this is so we're funny. We're so we should do a podcast." So
you hear their bad jokes and you're just like rolling your eyes.
Ugh. Yeah. Oh, jeez. So
he was jealous.
So anyways,
so lonely.
Yeah, just sitting there crying, playing. So anyways, let me back up. As I'm walking into the theater, or walking into the like.
The mall.
The mall. Basically, I see Hot Sauce's mom. I'm like, I'm going up the escalator, and she's going down the escalator. And I kind of like look over and do a double take. I'm like, "Hey!" She's like, "Hey!" And then basically we start kissing, and it just
holding hands and shit like that.
Like, you want to toss my salad?
So turns out she is gonna is with most of the family, and minus Hot Sauce because he's a she.
I know, I know.
I will quote her. She said, "He is a movie theater snob." That's what she said.
That's Hot Sauce on most things.
Maybe. So,
I like 10 things. Shut up.
Let me like my things. So, she's going to eat dinner before.
Let me like my things.
Let me like my things.
Leave me alone.
So, she's going to have dinner with the rest of the family, and then they're going to come back to the theater. So, anyways, we finally get into the theater, and I'm like... Like, not, like, running, but I'm, like, walking quickly to get, like, the best seats. So I'm, like, you know, 3 rows down from the top, center, perfect seats. And then that annoying group sits, like, 2 rows in front of me. And then there's nobody else in the... So they let us in super early. It's, like, 7:10, and the movie starts at 8:30, and we're already sitting in the theater. And then no one else fucking shows up in the theater for, like, another 40 minutes. So I'm like, oh, well,
you're listening to these guys for 40 minutes.
Yeah, I'm gonna listen to their bullshit. But also, I showed up early for no fucking reason. And so, anyways, I text Hot Sauce. I'm like, "Hey, let your mom know they're letting people in." So, him or her and the rest of the family shows up, and I'm shooting the shit with them for a little bit, just talking bad about Hot Sauce.
Yeah, of course,
as you do. And yeah, so it was a good time. I'll save my reviews for later, but yeah, I basically got there super early for no fucking reason.
And then the theater didn't even fill up.
And no, it didn't even fill up. It was still like maybe half to like 3/4 still room for people, so.
I found it weird, like last year, like we were going for my company, my security manager's taking all the security group to see Rogue One. Just like last year, we took us all out for like a company, like security party to see Force Awakens. We went on opening weekend, Sunday, midday. And we're all thinking, like, okay, we got to make sure we get over there. Like, we went and drank and ate beforehand and shit because downtown and everything and discounts and all jazz. We go to the movie theater. We're, like, you know, making sure we get there early enough that we're going to get, you know, decent seats. We get in there. And, yeah, it's a very large theater. There's a decent amount of people. But I couldn't believe it that opening weekend, midday Sunday, there was plenty of open seating. I was like, wow, really?
Yeah.
Like, for Star Wars Force, I mean, obviously they made all kinds of money, a lot of jazz. It's just kind of strange to see barely anybody in the theater for this fucking opening weekend.
It's really odd to me. I feel that Star Wars would be, even though this is, like, for this year, was, like, a Star Wars story. It's not, like, a main saga.
Yeah, it was a side.
But still, you just feel like people are really pumped, and it's, like, the one...
universal franchise that everyone could, you know, get together for. But for some reason, fucking wasn't enough people.
So last year, if you remember, I'm sure I bitched about it on the podcast. I went to the fancy theater with the assigned seating, with the comfy leather chairs, and you can recline and shit. And so my brother's friends bought the tickets for us. And all the seats were together except for two.
Yeah.
And two were in like the second fucking row.
You and your brother were cranking your necks all the time,
and then
right?
So somehow it got voted that the two biggest Star Wars fans, me and my brother, got shafted in the second fucking row. So, I mean, I'm still seeing a chiropractor for my neck having to like look up for that long. But so anyways, yeah. I suggest when the Magic movie comes out, we go to Sinopolis.
Which, they'll never have it there.
They have shitty movies there.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
So, to that point, do we have any idea what year they're shooting for the Magic movie? Has that heard any news on that in like fucking
I have
like
no
a
idea
year and a half?
Yeah, we haven't really heard.
I'll say one thing in my defense about the getting the tickets or whatever. I got my tickets before she bought the tickets for everybody. That's one minor thing. I could have refunded them or whatever, but I'm like, I already got my tickets. I got the hour they were released, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I, like, was waiting, basically. And I got, like, we got really good seats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, right in the same
thing. I guess
thing.
Leather means more than family, I guess.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Just what it...
You're damn straight. So I was like, no,
real
I don't
quick,
want to
though,
do
your mom doesn't listen to the cast anymore. You don't need to, like, explain yourself. It's okay.
No, to
it's
the okay. people.
I just want
to myself. I don't know, whatever.
You're feeling guilty is what it sounds like.
I want people to know you're a bad person.
Minor.
Well, they already know that.
So, also, we have, it's the year of modern flashback drafts on Magic Online. So the whole year, you know, every week or so, they go to the next set, and they go to the next set, and blah, blah, blah. So I just want to point out that the last set that is going to be in the year of flashback drafts is Magic 2014. And you're like, wow, who cares about that shitty core set? Well,
Knife City does.
Well, that was the first set that we drafted. So,
Didn't you draft the fuck out of that one?
I drafted online. That's when I first got Magic Online. I started drafting. I drafted the shit out of it, like, over 50 times, easily.
No, it was good, though, for us. I mean, maybe we, you know, go if we do the flashback, maybe we won't be as excited because maybe, like, you know, our skill level is different than it was then.
Yeah.
But for back then, we were like, this is amazing. You know what I mean?
I mean, it was perfect to go in on that draft set because it was simplistic enough for us to kind of grasp the simple mechanics and everything. But just for like a nostalgic thing, we're going to be drafting and we're going to stream it, all three of us.
Oh, really?
So I don't know. I mean, me and Hot Sauce have talked about it. If you're,
I know
mean,
you mentioned. I didn't know about the streaming part of it.
Yeah, we're gonna be streaming it and having a good old time.
We're hoping that just house thing because I haven't set up streaming on my computer at all. So.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping to do is like basically have we'll have to have just only one person. We'll get all three be streaming, or we just have one person streaming or whatever.
Well, we're all gonna be but at Hot Sauce's house.
We'll be at my house,
okay.
And then we'll have the camera set up, and we'll be bullshitting. We'll see how we can get it to work efficiently.
Stream it on one. We'll have like another account streaming us playing it from behind us.
Yeah, and then we'll be like watching, ghosting the other stream.
We'll have like the infinite windows thing going on, so we have the cameras see each other.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Yeah.
So that's gonna start on the 21st of December, and it ends on the 28th. So sometime, hopefully, this comes out on Monday. So sometime this coming week,
you have the power. You can make it come out on Monday.
So hopefully, sometime this week or next week, we will be streaming. So look for us on Twitch. If Lands Could Kill on there or Knife City or whatever, it's in the fucking show notes. Look it up.
One little thing to say, they had a Metallica had a surprise show in LA on the night of the Star Wars release, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it was like surprise, as in they started selling tickets like 4 days before the show.
Okay,
and the venue was only like 150 people, like super small, intimate venue. And I was like, well, that's fucking rad, but I didn't buy tickets to it because I wanted to see the movie more, honestly. Even though that was, like, super sweet, I saw the tickets and they were, I had a buddy, like, text me. He's like, hey, tickets are on sale now. So I go online, in the first 5 minutes, whatever, when they're on sale. And it looked like, I didn't go through the whole process, so it could have been, like, they could have kicked me out by the end saying they're all sold out. But I looked at it and they were, like, 110 a ticket or something like that. And I kind of just passed up on it. First of all, $220 right now is not ideal, even though it would be a sweet show. But I just wanted to say that's very rare for a big band like that to have a fucking venue that small, like a bar size venue. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
and even them playing it. Just had a new album come out, too. So like,
yeah, yeah.
That much more interesting.
Well, you made the right choice. Star Wars over Metallica.
Yeah, I just was. Obviously, wanted to save money was a factor, but also, yeah, I was already pumped up to see Star Wars, man. We were like, me and Crow, I'm sure yourself, me and Crow were just giddy as fuck. And then
yeah, it was a good time.
I picked him up and I'm like, all right, we're going to go see Star Wars. You need to shut up for about 5 minutes. Okay.
There's no first talking. Thing he says as I get in the car, I'm like, okay. Sure, what's going on?
And then
on?
I played the Galactic Empire metal main theme of Star Wars, you know.
I got it pretty quick.
Fucking awesome.
I still need to show you that video of the dude playing the theme song on a coffee stirrer. I gotta find that for you.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good. Have you seen that video yet?
No.
I'll look it up for you guys.
You had a video. No, you had the video, the Darth Maul.
Oh, yeah, I gotta show you the Darth Maul.
It was a live action Darth Maul.
Like a year or two ago now.
Yeah, it's a trailer came out. Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't like a trailer, not the fake trailer.
No, it was a trailer like fan made shit. Well,
but it was like 15 minutes long. It wasn't like a 2 minute trailer. It was like a 10, 15 minute like mini video Darth Maul thing where they're not trying to like sell a new Darth Maul movie.
Right.
They just did it to give Darth Maul more of a story because everybody loved Darth Maul.
Right.
So yeah.
Seems rad. I haven't seen it. Seems rad though.
It was fucking pretty well done. Pretty sweet.
I experienced that Google VR thing where you put the phone in the little thing and put it on your face, whatever.
Yeah.
And they had a Star Wars one, and it was so bad. Like, the acting and everything was so fucking bad. I just hate VR now. No, I don't. But still, you put it on, and I'm like, all right, so sweet Star Wars. And it has, like, the words are coming down. You know, you can turn your head and look around at everything. I'm like, oh, this. And the VR, like, works seamlessly as far as you move your head. There's, like, no delay, no frame rate delay. It's, like, it's spot on, you know. But the resolution of the video is pretty bad.
Garbage.
Yeah, like, seeing, you know... I would like to say that it's 1080p is the resolution of it. I'm not really sure. But looking around and you're to see the characters and you're like, man, this is like really grainy, dude. It's really bad, you know? And the fucking production quality and like the acting was just total shit.
Where did you see this?
It's just if you buy the new Google Pixel phone, then they give you, that was like the promotion, they give you like the free little headset you can wear, which is, I think it's like $80 normally or something like that. It has no components. It's just literally like, you put the phone into it and you
strap
put it on your fucking head. Yeah, strap on. There's no like buttons or nothing like that. But it does come with something cool though. It comes with a little remote, and the remote is like super intuitive. It's kind of like a Wiimote,
okay,
but really small, like the size of your lighter.
Okay.
And it has like a little trigger, and it has like a little touchpad thing on it, and like one button, and you're able to. It has like a, it's like a mouse pointer, so you're able to just like laser pointer. You're able to like move around the screen with your hand, and you can like have it click, you know, whatever video you want to watch. Or you can interact with whatever game it is. Or you can hold it sideways, and it has an accelerometer, so you can do, like, a little, like, Mario Kart-style game with it or whatever. And for that, that was, like, actually, like, super good.
Nice.
So I'd say that the VR experience, like, I'm sure once the games are good, that you can trust the experience is good. But what they have out right now is pretty fucking bad.
Well, yeah, it's kind of what we were talking about earlier, in earlier episodes, where it's like, sure, VR is out, but it's, like, still not quite there, you know? So, anyways, let's move into some magic talkings.
Magic.
We have a couple topics for you guys, and we're going to have Hot Sauce go ahead and take it away.
Okay, so one thing that came out, I don't have the article in front of me, but basically, Wizards, you know, they do their, what do you call it, that they do like their articles on their website that...
I don't know, I was trying to find it, I couldn't find
it. Okay, they had like an update, a little article about... their feelings on Kaladesh, basically. So Kaladesh has been around for a while. You know, all the main tournaments for this one set have already been taking place, like all the standard tournaments and stuff. So now they're kind of like reflecting on that. And they were talking about Thopter, the Thoptercopter, and talking about how they knew that that was going to be the most powerful vehicle in the set. Like the most played vehicle in the set, they should say. But they didn't know that it was going to be a four of every deck in the fucking top eight kind of shit. You know what I mean? That there's only a handful of decks that aren't playing the Thopter. And you can play the Thopter in basically anything else, even if it's like a control style thing. You can basically have your creatures that are kind of like Chump Block Duty or like Thraben Inspector, Get You Clue type shit. Maybe you could still have that, you know, being the deck along with Thopter, and it creates you enough early game value of drawing, discarding, and early blocking, and early attacking, whatever. Anyways, so they were mentioning that for Aether Revolt, before it was finalized, they did throw in more
artifact
or just generally 3-3 flyer hate or something like that.
Or like so they essence extraction, deal 3 damage, get 3 life.
Right, something like that, right? So they have more stuff that they weren't planning on, but because the meta is this way, they went ahead and added more things to take care of.
Fucking here it is. Latest developments, Kaladesh Standard Retrospective.
There you go. So, and it talks about how they're, you know.
So you're saying like after this set came out, they went back and added more cards?
Something like that, yeah. That's what it seems like.
No, but not that it came out, like, as it was in, like, finalizing production.
Okay. But I'm sure they made Aether Revolt probably, like, 2 years ago or something, but I think that they might have changed out, like, 2 or 3 cards to make sure that there's, you know, more appropriate hate to actually deal with.
Oh, so you're saying in Aether Revolt they're putting in cards?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay, I thought you were talking about Kaladesh.
No.
There's not enough hate right now.
On Kaladesh, not enough hate for Thopter. There's too much sorcery speed removal.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, we have Grasp. And maybe like one other card or something like that. You know,
the grass
maybe like
is a hot, you know,
but that's
double
it.
Pip. I mean, there's like
exactly.
Not
so they're gonna they
removal
try to
is
revise
pretty light it. Right now for like decent removal. It's pretty light right now.
So it's just something to look into. That you know, like that card may be very powerful still, but it probably is going to get a lot of hate and you know change the format in the correct direction. I think so. That's one simple thing though. Besides that though, there's 2 new cards that we can talk about that were spoiled from Aether Revolt. They're doing like a really slow rollout because it's supposed to be. I think they're starting when this cast comes out, basically. So
they're going to start the actual
one. So what is that? That's going to be the 19th of December. Is they're going to start rolling out some spoilers. But we have just two more to talk about right now. So
which I don't know, man. This looks pretty fucking good. We have Oath of Ajani for a green and a white legendary enchantment. When Oath of Ajani enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. That's very Selesnya of you. But also, planeswalker spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. Holy shit.
Yeah,
somebody was talking about, oh, you know how Johnny is very prevalent in standard? Now you can cast him on 3.
No, Gideon.
Gideon, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Gideon, you can cast him on 3 now? Like, who gives a fuck about the counters? Just if it didn't say anything about the counters and it just said planeswalkers you cast cost 1 less,
yeah.
That's still fucking pretty good.
Yeah.
Planeswalkers are fucking ridiculous.
You could cast it on turn 3 playing like the mana dork, but that's it. That's like the only way. Now it's like this thing does more than that because not only is it something that where you can cast it, 4 mana planeswalker on turn 3 or something like that, it takes away from each planeswalker spell. So say if you had 2 in your hand and you had the appropriate mana, it's, you know, it's just you're removing 1 mana from each one, so you can go ahead and cast 2 3 mana planeswalkers on turn 4 now. Or, yeah, turn 4, you know what I mean? Instead of just casting 1 for cheaper or something like that, you're able to go ahead and spend 2 mana on a planeswalker, boom, 2 mana on a planeswalker, or something, you know, like that. There's ways where if you have multiple planeswalkers in hands, it benefits each one, not just one, like if you tapped a mana dork to add 1, you know, mana. So,
yeah,
it's super good, though.
One thing to bring up Bonnet, though, is like it's... I was talking before about I'm not a fan of the Gatewatch situation and how they're going to continue it. I thought it was pretty funny. Somebody made a comment on Twitter, something along the lines of, oh, great, another Gatewatch card, another Planeswalker joining the Gatewatch. I wonder if instead of everybody, if everybody's going to join the Gatewatch, why don't you just call it something like, oh, Planeswalkers? I was like, okay, yeah.
Everyone's part of the Gatewatch.
It's like fucking, jeez, okay.
Yeah, it is kind of weird, but it is a really strong effect.
I mean,
it is,
I like the cards.
And
I like the
cheaper
idea,
than all the other ones. All the other ones are 3 mana or 4 mana, right, or something like
well,
that.
Well,
so.
This one's 1 mana.
Oh, you're right, that one is 1 mana. But I think the last one were 3, right? Something like that. Anyways, yeah, this one's really good, though. And it's weird that it's like Selesnya. So now we're in my mind, I'm expecting that in this set or something else, they're probably going to have another one of these for another Planeswalker. That would
Tesseract.
Be, yeah, something like that. That would be a Dimir, you know, whatever one, so.
Yeah, man, I started playing Duels of the Planeswalker again, or Duels, as they call it these days.
Yeah.
I started playing it again because I haven't played it in, you know, 6 months or, I don't know, something. And so, you know, you go through the little story and you fight the little battles. And so since I last cast, I talked about how the story was so atrocious, the written story on the Wizard's site.
For Kaladesh.
I kind of got a little bit more backstory just from playing those battles.
Yeah, honestly, that story mode is the only lore I know of this set, because I didn't give a shit about the lore in this. So reading that, once I played the Magic Duels and the story on that, I was like, okay, well, now I know basically what's going on.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, I didn't give a shit enough to look into it.
Yeah.
Kieran Nalar's dead. That's what I know. That's my summary of the set.
Dovin Bond went to the Gatewatch to have him help, but it turns out, like, he's kind of the bad guy, and he wanted help. You know, to fight the rebellion, or, you know, what's
Chandra's mommy.
Yeah, Chandra's mom and some other people. So anyways, now the Gatewatch is like, well, we're not helping you. We're going to crush you and Tezzeret.
Now Tezzeret's come to fuck shit up.
Yeah, and Tezzeret is one of the judges for the Inventor's Fair, and then all the inventors,
he's like the special guest head judge.
Yeah,
right?
He's like, you know, on America's Got Talent. He's like, you know.
He's the Simon Cowell.
I don't know. I'm just so unimpressed with the story and the continuation of the Gatewatch.
Yeah.
It's, what, 3 sets in a row now?
Yeah.
You know, or 3 blocks in a row?
I really enjoy the enchantments. They're solid cards. I really like them a lot. I just fucking hate this whole Gatewatch, Super Friends, everybody loves each other fucking
shit.
Dude,
my 20 Oath of Gideons are just waiting to go up to $1. All right, so next card. Consulate Crackdown. So it's 3 white, 5 mana enchantment. Whenever this enters the battlefield, exile all artifacts your opponents control until this thing leaves the battlefield. So it's a detention sphere for whatever else, for only artifacts. But, you know, there's a lot of artifacts in Kaladesh, and we're not even assuming, there's going to be a lot in Aether Revolt.
Right.
So this could be a really good sideboard card or something like that for control.
What I'm most excited about this card, I'm most excited about making Knife City salty.
Well, even still, I'm still playing Soul Ring and
Oh, I know, it'll be me too, but I just want to see his anger level go high when he's got like 50 artifacts on the field. He's like, oh, my whole field.
Fucking Stryonic Resonator is like hitting all my decks too, so like that kind of shit would be really bothersome.
So yeah, obviously in EDH, this is going to be so much more effective.
A white staple.
But now it's like, oh, hey, you know how in Standard Thopter is oppressive? Well, now it's only going to hit you like 3 times before, before you can...
Only 9 damage and 3 extra wounds.
Before you can overcostedly deal with it.
Yeah,
you know?
There's that, but I say one thing that if they do make certain types of removal, just kind of like the one they have right now, or the green one, where it's 3 mana cost or less, like those kind of removal spells won't hit this if it's 5, you know what I mean? So if they do print something like that, that's more like the 3 mana, 4 mana cost stuff, this might be able to just get right out of range of that so that it's not as commonly removed, you know what I mean? So it has something going for it, which is his mana cost, I think. But besides that, I agree with you guys. Like, Standard, I don't know what it's going to do. But
I think it has a chance because, like we talked about before, there's not enough good instant speed removal. So, like, the vehicles are a problem. They are hard to deal with. This takes care of them. And that's a nice answer to it, at least in white.
You know that there still is the fucking... The white... Sorcery speed one, it's like 1 white, and it's like it's kind of like the commands or whatever, you know. So they have it where like you choose 2, and it's like they can destroy target enchantment, put a 1/1 counter on all your creatures,
Blessed
Alliance, right? Like, I was not seeing play, but if these enchantments, you know, become a problem, then it's like, oh, we just play that as well, you know. But it's not seeing play because there haven't been any crazy enchantments that have been stopping stuff besides like Stasis Snare and shit, so. Yeah, enchantments haven't been... I don't think they've been too big besides that one.
So I'm trying to look for it, but I can't find it at the moment. What I really want is a really wonky way for black to get rid of artifacts. There is 1 enchantment. I believe it's double black. It's Phyrexian Gate or like something. Anyways, during your upkeep, at the beginning of your upkeep... you can sacrifice a creature, and then you can destroy a target artifact.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I've ever found for black to deal with artifacts. So I'm really hoping they throw something like that in there, and it's not really in black's
And it's out of the color pie, but like every color has some kind of titch somewhere, at least a little bit of help.
Yeah.
A little bit of help, yep.
So, I mean, like even white has like some card draw in Mentor of the Meek or like shit like that. So I'm really hoping they throw another like wonky card in there that can kind of deal with artifacts where it has limitations on it, but still it has ways to deal with it.
Yeah, you have to do something extra special to do it, but at least you have a chance to do it.
Because like when I'm building decks, obviously I love Dimir, but it's like, well, I have all these powerful cards, but if they play one enchantment or artifact, like, I'm in trouble. I'm pretty fucked. Yeah. That thing's staying.
If I don't keep my counter up and they happen to drop yeah, it now,
that's staying for life.
Yeah, it is like that.
So, yeah, I'm hoping for that, but we'll have to wait and see.
So, besides that, we have some Frontier stuff to talk about, right, guys?
Yeah, so Frontier, if you haven't heard already, is a budding new format in the Magic community. It's not official in the Wizards sense of it, but it is M14 and up.
M15 and up.
I got M14 on the mind, you know, just that Mill J's got me all hard. So M15 and up, and that's it. There has been no...
So why is that starting at M15?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that, because if you look down at the bottom center of any of the cards legal in MTG Frontier, you can see a little reflective...
For rares.
For rares.
And mythics.
And mythics. You see a little reflective, I don't know.
Let him fucking talk. Jesus Christ.
He's missing things. So what?
Whatever.
Let him fucking do it.
God, I explain to people. He's like, I can't miss things.
So I'm gonna hit you. You're going to see a little hologram at the bottom. And that's, I guess, to prevent, fraudulent cards being made. And
that, and then they have, like, the little curve at the bottom of the card.
Yeah, and
the
new
frames.
The frame is different, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, I guess people took that and ran with it, and now it's a format. And so, we have, it's gaining steam in the community. It's actually driving some card prices, which we will talk about in a little bit. But when it first, like, came on the scene, everyone was like, you know what? It's probably going to be another Tiny Leaders. You know, don't spec on any cards yet. You're going to get burned. This and that. And then I just nonstop see people talk about it on Twitter.
Yeah, it's definitely gaining speed.
You know, even when people say bad things, it's almost like a good thing, because all it's doing is getting more and more conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And also, was it MTG Goldfish?
Yep.
Has put it up, the metagame
breakdown
results on there. So
there have been tournaments, like local tournaments, not like big, huge, whatever stuff, but it's still sanctioned.
Yeah, so, for Friday Night Magic, you can play any tournament you want, or any format you want, so... like we mentioned before, there's Haruruya out in Japan, and they're running tournaments.
They're the ones that invented it.
Yeah, they're the ones who first started playing it. And then I know Face to Face Games up in
Toronto,
Canada, have been really pushing the format a lot. So, and it's just got everyone's juices a flowing. So let's go ahead and take a look at some decks that we are putting together. Take it away, somebody else.
I'll say, I got my list up right now. It's just my first build of the, you know, I have one card that I want to play, and so I'm like, all right, fine, I'm going to go ahead and build the best damn one I can using all these cards, M15 and up. So the card that I'm going to be building around is Panharmonicon. Panharmonicon, if you've been watching any of the MTG Goldfish stuff, you see that it's big fringe talking. I mean, it's not saying that it's going to see a bunch of top 8 play, but it is getting top 32 play. You know, it's pretty good, just not quite tier 1. But Panharmonicon, like when an artifact or creature enters the battlefield, whatever triggered effect happens again. So like say, you know, a Thraben Inspector comes down or whatever, when it enters the battlefield, you create a clue, well now you create two clues, you know, stuff like that. So my deck, because I get to use whatever I want, easy fill, fucking Siege Rhino, right? Siege Rhino comes in, enters the battlefield, does 3 damage to target opponent, or they lose 3 life, and you gain 3 life, I should say. So now, when it enters the battlefield with one Panharmonicon out, they're going to lose 6, and I'm going to gain 6.
Double up.
You can, yeah, Panharmonicon's not a legendary artifact, so that means you can have fucking 2 out, or 3
triple
out.
Triple up.
Give me 3.
I was so waiting for him to set it up, too.
Give me 4.
Keep it together.
So they have that. So, dude, can you imagine, though? Can you imagine a world of Siege Rhinos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hooray!
So, Panharmonicon's 4, correct?
4, yeah.
And so is Siege Rhino, right?
Yes.
Okay, so
it puts me in Abzan right away.
Right. So what other enter the battlefield effects do you have?
So,
going
yeah, I mean, basically everything except for... Well, no, everything, basically.
every yeah, card in Abzan colors
yeah,
ever.
So it's Abzan, but I also, because we have the fetch lands, and it's like you have, it's one of the advantages for Frontier besides extra card pool, is that we have now way better mana than we do in Standard. So we have the fetches and shit. So I'm able to play 4 colors, which would be for 3 Cloud Blazers, which are like the What is that one?
Draft, uncommon of the sets.
Yeah, but what's the one? A Mole Drifter is what I'm thinking of. So when it enters the battlefield, you draw 2 cards and gain 2 life. Well, now you're going to be drawing 4 cards and gaining 4 life, drawing 6 cards, gaining 6 life, whatever. So you drop one of those things.
Gross.
And if you can get there and your life total is semi-safe, like, that's going to be pretty good. If you refill your hand and your opponent's down to, like, your normal 2 cards of not being able, you know, you can't get any card advantage on you, then you're going to have huge advantage on him. So let's go, like, we'll go in order here. We got, for one drop, we got Elvish Mystic. No end of the battlefield, but it is ramp that we don't have in standard because they're not going to make any more one mana mana dorks.
The one turn one dork in the format.
So boom, we have that. Then other ramp, we have Servant of the Conduit. Servant of the Conduit is a 2/2 for 2, and you can tap it. You pay an energy, and you can add any color, any mana. And then it end of the battlefield effect is it gets 2 energy. But now it'll get 4 or whatever else. And the energy is only otherwise spent on Aether Hub, which Aether Hub's a 4 of in this deck. Aether Hub is the new one that it enters the battlefield, makes 1 energy, and then you can go ahead and use an energy, tap it to add any color. Same thing as Servant of the Conduit, basically. So we have that. Then we have Eldrazi Displacer, which is only a 2 of because it needs other stuff to work. But, you know, you pay 3 mana, and you're able to go ahead and blink something.
Do you think that that's going to be a little over the top with Panharmonicon? Because you're running 4 Harmonicons, right?
Yeah.
Do you see those as 5 and 6 Harmonicons?
But you got to have them out, though. You know what I mean? But
exactly.
Yeah. Thing is, that's why I only have 2, because in a perfect world, if I could just, like, find all these creatures, then I would love to have 4 so it's reliable. But I feel like this is just kind of a win more part of the strategy. Where the Panharmonicon is not the win more. Panharmonicon, I'm putting that over anything. That's going to go down because I can catch back up so quickly with anything else I'm playing.
Gotcha.
And there's a lot of life gain in the deck, too. So if I get down to 5 life, I'm probably still going to play Panharmonicon that turn as long as I'm not going to be on 0 the next turn, at least from what's on the board. I will risk it. You know what I mean? I will risk it for the biscuit on their attack and them not having something. I guess unless it's like a Tarka Red or some fucking thing that comes out, you know?
Right.
But anyway,
quick question on displacers. Activation cost, is that 2 in a generic?
It's 2 in a colorless, yeah.
Okay, so
you have to have colorless.
My question to you is, you're going 4 colors. How many lands are you going to have there to tap for colorless?
Aether Hub makes, it's 4 of right there, right? But then I have 1 Llanowar Wastes.
We got the Pain Lands.
Yeah, we have Pain Lands. And 1 Yavimaya Coast. And I think that's it so far. So 6. So I have 2 cards that want it, and then I have 6 lands that'll do it.
It's a decent enough splash, and those other cards actually produce colored mana.
So. Yeah, so that's pretty much it, though. So it's once again, it's kind of like a win more thing. Maybe I start playing it, and I get through 10 games, and I'm like, this is not working, so I'm just going to go only out of the battlefield effect. You never know. But they have that. So that's a 3 spot. Then we have Reflector Mage. That's 3 mana. That, you know, bounces a creature on entering the battlefield, and then they can't cast it their next turn, or until your next turn, I should say.
Sounds horrible.
So that will be able to bounce 2 creatures, or 3, or, you know, Then we have Siege Rhino as a 4 of, we have Cloud Blazer as a 3 of, and then our secret tech is Wingmate Rock.
What?
Which I feel is my special addition to it, because I feel that people are going to be building this deck, but I have not heard anything about Wingmate Rock. Wingmate Rock, if you don't remember, from Khanz of Tarkir, it's a 3/4 bird for 5 mana, 3 and 2 white, and it has raid. When it enters the battlefield, if you attack to the creature this turn, then you get to put a 3/4 bird token out on the battlefield, and the original creature has, when this creature attacks, you gain for 1 life for each attacking creature. You know, so
I totally forgot about that part.
Yeah,
of
so
Wingmate
like
Rock.
If I attack with him and its other bird, I gain 2 life. And you're also getting hit for 6 in the air. And Panharmonicon, obviously, will just make more 3/4 tokens. So with 1 Panharmonicon, I pay 5 mana, I get 3 3/4 flyers, one of them gains me life on attack. So that's like my secret tech as far as that. I don't think anyone is thinking about that. I think it's huge.
Yeah, it could be pretty gross.
I would just like attack in with my Elvish Mystic or my fucking Reflector Mage or Servant of the Conduit or whatever I don't need at that point. And then I'm able to raid into some fucking birds. And those birds, if I have 3 3/4 flyers, and I'm anywhere near a good life total, how am I going to fucking lose that game, basically, you know what I mean? Because I still have other shit to play, and you got to deal with 3 fucking birds. If you don't have a board wipe, I don't see how I'm not going to be able to hold that back for defense, or be able to just fucking swing it for the game, basically, you know? Imagine if I just had, you know, Siege Rhino, so I had Panharmonicon turn 3, Siege Rhino turn 4 to get me back up a little bit, and then this on turn 5, like, that's the winning combination right there.
The grossest.
So I have besides that, I have some removal, 3 Abzan Charm because I get to play that now, 2 Dromoka's Command, 2 Murderous Cut, and 1 Treasure Cruise as my draw. So Treasure Cruise, I don't want to put a bunch in there, but I felt like it's legal. It's not banned in this. This is the only format it's not banned in. So like, hey, I will go ahead and play 1 Treasure Cruise to draw me 3 cards for 1 blue mana, getting rid of my fucking graveyard. Because there's going to be fetches in there too, so Delve is even better. So whatever you guys are playing, I'm sure you're going to be playing Delve if you can, because Delve is going to be so strong with all the fetches, you know, so that's going
to
be sweet.
So before I move on to the next deck here or whatever, I got 2 questions for you guys. One, there's debate on whether or not fetches should stay legal.
Oh, we already decided, 2-3 vote, we're going to keep fetches.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Who's the odd man out?
You.
No, well, I said I want fetches.
But I mean, like, regardless of your vote.
I know, but the whole
point
is that we already did it. So.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't, I mean, unless they themselves, the governing body of MTG Frontier, which is kind of just like a makeshift fucking couple guys who are really hard on for the format.
It's like Tiny Leaders, where, like, they had, like, tinyleaders.org or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they had the website. We would go to it. We don't even know who these people are, but whatever. They're the one with the website. We're going to follow their rules, basically,
yeah, exactly.
What it came down to.
I just hope, I mean, honestly, like, it's not like we have shocks. I mean, we have other things that fetch up. They're not as good as shocks and like that. Like, I just think, why get rid of fetches? Fetches are amazing. They help modern out so much. Why take it away from Frontier? I don't want people like so against them. It's like, if your main point is because you have to shuffle more, fuck you.
Yeah, mana's,
we all play Magic. We all shuffle our decks all the fucking time.
Mana is still not as good as modern. I mean, it's going to be good, but I will have situations where I can fetch for a dual land, but it's going to come in tapped. You know, because I don't have 2 basics.
Yeah.
Shit like that. There's still going to be problems.
I feel
so
like
I'm fine with that.
It just adds a decision tree to fetching. That's all it does. Because we can't fetch for shocks, it's like the same conversation we had when those fetchable duels, the battle lands when they came out.
Yeah, it's the same conversation. Like, why they wouldn't make it modern. This isn't modern.
Yeah, so they're perfect for Frontier because if you need the mana that turn, then you get a basic. If you don't need the mana that turn, go ahead and get it. It comes untapped.
Yeah.
Or you have enough basics, it comes in untapped. Might as well be a fucking
regular
shot.
Right, I feel like
shot.
The only downside is that you basically have perfect mana. You just won't be able to have it that turn. I think it's nice and fair.
No, I mean, you can.
No, my point is that if it was like early turns and I have fetches or whatever, I'm not going to have the 2 basics. So like, unless I have 3 fetches, I can fetch out 2 basics or something like that and then get a dual land. But like, I think it's fine to like, if I am playing 4 colors and my hand is totally crammed with like a variety of different casting costs, that I'm like, all right, I'm going to be slow, but I'm going to have perfect mana eventually. And that's way better than, you know, if I just couldn't get that mana at all. So fetches are like really important. It's okay if it's slow, whatever, fine. But at least I can cast this thing eventually. Where in standard, if we were trying to play 4 colors, we might not be able to cast it even eventually. We might not be able to have the fixing. We have to relying on literally drawing the mana that we need rather than being able to search for it. So I think that if the mana is slower, that's fine. That'll make just for probably maybe the better format. I don't know, you know, so.
Well, there's not as much power as there is in modern. Eventually there will be. Cards are still like lessening in power level. So Frontier probably never has as much power as there is in modern. So it's fine to leave fetches in there. If you take the fetches out, I think it becomes less fun, less more intricate. You're looking for still a competitive format like modern where you're trying to get into decks. And I think taking away that mana is just wrong.
Frontier would be like standard plus, and we want it to be more than
that. Yeah, it needs to be a little bit better.
So what's your other question?
Other question is, first off, do you guys think Treasure Cruise and Dig the Time will be banned? And do you want it to be banned?
I'm okay with it being banned. I don't care. I'll play it in the meantime, but I'm fine with it being banned. I don't care.
I don't know. I think right now it's not that big of a deal. Judging by the tournament reports I'm hearing, judging by everything I'm seeing, it's not oppressive to where it's like... Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, in modern it was like, okay, I'm mono red burn, and I'm splashing for Treasure Cruise because it's ridiculous. It's like, it's not like there's already established powerful decks, and then they just get to throw in a cruise, and then it becomes ridiculous. It's like, these decks are of the power level already, and they're not like getting enhanced by Treasure Cruise.
So for me, I don't want them to be banned. I think they're fine for the format. Part of that being is, like, Modern has already banned different good blue card draw spells, and nerfed it to, you know, Serum Visions, and like now they brought in Central Visions back and all that jazz. But
which hasn't done shit.
Yeah, it shows up here and there, but it's not like some overwhelming thing. It's completely fine to be unbanned.
Yeah.
So like this Frontier has even less card draw than Modern's allowed, and so at the moment, like, it doesn't have cantrips, doesn't have that thing to really get you going. Like, at least Serum Visions will do for you in Blue and Modern. So like for now, especially, I don't think it's that nerfing.
I agree. I don't think
it's a problem.
It doesn't even, like, be nerfed yet. I agree.
Like, there's the Blue isn't some like powerhouse as it was in Legacy and how it could have been in Modern if those type of cards were illegal. So like I just don't see the need to ban it right now. I do think eventually they will ban it as people bitch long enough about it. But like I just don't see the need right now. The power level is, you know, they're obviously great cards, but I don't think it's oppressive where it's like over the top, like, oh my god, we got to nerf Blue down again.
Well, I mean, as of right now, this state of the format is it doesn't need to. But judging by what comes out in the future, they'll have to revisit the ban list every time a set comes out.
Understood. But do you see for the foreseeable future, with how much they're nerfing power level of cards, they're going to give us those good blue cantrips and things like that anymore? Do you think we're going to get a card like a Serum Visions or a Brainstorm or anything anywhere near that ever again?
I don't know. I mean, we like you said, the power level's different than Modern or how it used to be. So we get things like Expedite, you know, target creature gains haste and draw a card. So we're not going to get like card draw and card selection. It's going to be one or the other when it comes to those low casting cost spells.
So it just adds to my point of I just don't see how Treasure Cruise in either time is just too much.
Right now, we don't think they're.
I also think that if they do eventually make graveyard hate, which we haven't had in standard in a long time, then I think there's gonna be no problem having them in because then you'll be able to stop the delve. You know.
Well, I
but
mean,
right now, graveyard shenanigans is like
there's a couple
pretty fucking good right now.
There's a couple cards in the Frontier format that really stop graveyard shenanigans. One of them being the
Tormod's Crypt.
Yeah, Tormod's Crypt.
I believe. So yeah, there is.
Oh, there is. That is M15. Yeah. Huh?
So there is some.
Oh, there is something. Okay.
And that is like the
Thank
easiest sideboard deck.
In all my decks, I have one or two of them in the sideboard. Because
he was telling me the other day about like, oh, right now graveyard's the way to go. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I love graveyard stuff too. I don't want to remind you yet that Tormod's Crypt is legal because maybe you figured it out on your own. Or I guess we're talking about the cast now. But if we hadn't said anything, he would not have had a sideboard tech for that stuff.
Yeah, now he does. He's got ammunition. So go ahead. What deck you got there, Crow?
Oh, I just, like, you guys have been talking about this, and, like, I know it's one of those things where I enjoy us getting into the formats, but you guys are usually the pioneers of us moving into that as a our current, like, our meta breakdown of what things we play.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as with usual, whenever we get into a new format, I'm behind as far as getting into it. So I just started really looking at it this morning. I've had... Once we started talking about it, my instantaneous thought has been about Waste Not.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, to that same point where I know you've already started building on MTGO, but at the same time, like, before I had Waste Not in Standards, like, I just love that card so much that at the moment I haven't been able to get my mind on anything else.
Well, you know, I mean, the reason why he's saying that is we have such a small play group that we try not to play the same deck, so it would be boring to go Waste Not versus Waste Not, you know. But... as for you building a deck, I think I need help with the deck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having some troubles finding a good finisher, so I think if we want to kind of put our minds together and come up with a deck that maybe we can both play online, you know, that would be cool. But I do have most of the pieces in paper ready to go.
Yeah, for sure. And so, like, for me, like I said, like that we all agree that we don't like to have similar strategy decks going around, but... we both love that card so much that I am going to... like, I'm down to definitely put our minds together and build it on MTGO and not Jazz. But as far as, like, as a cast here, like, I still have to build it. I love Waste Not too much. So right now, like, I just started pulling... like, my style of deck building is getting all tons of cards and slowly, you know, cutting down. Kind of
so I'm playing white-green, and I'll be the only one, which means I get to have all the enchantment hate, and none of you guys do, so that's going to be great.
Yeah, it's a thing. Counters, bitch.
Yeah, we have all the counters.
Negate. So that's what I'm starting to build on. I worked last night. I didn't go to sleep yet because I knew we were going to cast this morning, so I probably slept through it. So I briefly started pulling cards together to start building a Waste Not deck this morning.
Nice.
So I'm going to be watching the Charger game at my place. I'll probably just build the Frontier deck while I'm watching the game.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, just bring over some cards. We'll just fucking do some brainstorming, put some shit together.
If you can bring over like a whole bunch of crap, you know what I mean? We'll just have it all laid out on the table, and then we can build a waste not version, like, you know, something kind of like a gen, like a starting point in paper, maybe if you want to.
Yeah, I've already started pulling cards for that starting point. That's the other thing. Like, even though we both enjoy waste not, we both have different styles of how we try to go about winning the game and finishing the game, or how we go about it.
Right. I go a little bit more controlling route. You go a little bit more aggressive or creature based route.
There's different styles with it. And like, yeah, I mean, when I first built it, it was definitely a little more creature to it, because also I was newer to the game. Getting it now, like, I still have that feeling of wanting to do a couple little things, but I still like, no, I need to get some more control in there. So I'm kind of fighting myself on which way to go exactly. But again, we go about these things, and we have similar thoughts but different processes and where we end up in. So right. I think it'll still be fine. We can still have the two different style of decks and then get together and see what works best on MTGO or something.
So I'm going to leave, but you guys feel free to talk about the Star Wars thing. And you pretty much know my thoughts. We already talked about
horrible.
It. Horrible. But I got to go. So.
What a horrible.
I know.
What time am I coming by?
Whenever you want. Just 1:30, something like that.
Sounds good.
Why did we ever invite him on the cast?
Are you not going to sleep?
No.
Okay.
Woohoo! Fuck it.
Maybe we'll just save the Star Wars for next time.
Doesn't matter.
Let's just wait for it.
All right. So I guess we'll wrap up. Take care, bud. I guess we'll wrap up with my my deck. I think I already talked about the Waste Not deck that I was building. Actually, right this second, I'm trying to build on Magic Online a graveyard deck. Basically, it's like the blue-black... I'm not sure if I'm going to splash red or not, probably. But it's like the blue-black zombies, except there's some more blood-soaked champion. Mm-hmm. So easier to get stuff back, like prized amalgam, onto the field. And so I'm looking at different options. I was trying to, like, you know, obviously some Haunted Deads and stuff like that. But... let me go check out this deck right meow.
So as you're pulling it up, I found it funny. We started talking about the Frontier deal before the cast. I made a comment about, you know, you fucker again, once again, started building that waste on day before I had a chance, blah, blah, blah. So I started going like sneakily, like, so I started thinking today, maybe I'll steal your fucking mill just to rub it in a little bit. I'll start building the mill deck. And he's like, oh, I already started building my MTG. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
That was actually the first deck I built for the format. So that's the one we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Mill Draw, which is the beta name for it. Basically, it's blue-red mill, very reminiscent of that past standard deck that
that won the San Diego GP.
Yeah, GP San Diego. So... right now, we're looking at 3 Fiery Impulse, 4 Galvanic Bombardment, 4 Cathartic Reunion, because that card is amazing, 2 Roast, because this is a Siege Rhino format. I'm running 4 Chasm Skulker. I think I need to bring that number down.
Yeah.
But for right now, it's...
and that same conversation we had before, like... for my Waste on deck, I played before. It was that mill deck I had in Standard for a little bit.
Right.
I think I had a Waste on it too. I enjoyed putting Chasm Skulker in my sideboard, where I had less creatures beforehand. And so sideboard game 2 comes in. They take out the removal, and here comes Chasm Skulker getting bigger and bigger and fucking ready to wreck the world.
Right. Well, so this
either way, if you go main deck with it, which I love that card. 4 does seem a little heavy.
This deck is more creature based than a lot of, like, especially that mill deck from the GP that had like little to no creatures in it. This is more creature based, and you'll see why. So 4 Sphinx's Tutelage, which is the win condition of the deck. We got 2 Fevered Visions, which I'm on the fence about.
I love that card, man. Leave it in.
And we got 2 Jorian Ruin Diver.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. And then,
I didn't know you had that girl in there.
We got some merfolky
little bitch.
We got some secret tech in the 4-drop Forgotten Creation. You probably forgot what it was about. So it's a...
did you play against my standard mill deck in this previous one?
I don't remember.
With the Eldritch Moon and that set, whatever.
I don't remember.
I made a mill deck. I actually still had a deck here. And yeah, that was my little thing too. Like, Forgotten Creation. All of a sudden, I'm going to go ahead and read
the deck. So for 3 and a blue, it's a 3/3 with Skulk. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may discard all cards in your hand. If you do, draw that many cards. So you're just really... I might go down to 2 or maybe even to 1.
How many do you have to start?
I have 3 now. Like, these are just playtest numbers, so I want a bunch of them in there so I can actually draw them.
So I will say that my mill deck that played this, basically what you're doing here, was not as much power having the extra options.
Right.
But it's basically that same deck. I had fewer visions. I had four of them, mine. And it works very well with Phoenix Tutelage, by the way. It's very... And once you get those two going, it's like it's very difficult for them to actually win. You can keep it going there. So I played Forgotten Creation as well. I think I actually had two in mine. And it's awesome when it works. It's amazing. It's like, holy shit, you just had to mill so many cards.
Right.
It is very difficult to actually choose the time when you want to play it.
Exactly.
And for it to actually survive.
That's the thing I'm running into, is that it's a 3-3, and on turn 4, like, turn 4 is this very, I've noticed in a lot of decks, it's this very weird area where it feels like it's an underpowered spot, you know? And you really need to find the right card to fill that void instead of just playing, you know, 2/2 drops or something like that. The 4-drop slot, especially in, control-ish type decks, is hard to fill. So I have had situations where I play this and, you know, they get rid of my Sphinx's Tutelage and I'm like, oh, well, I mean, it's cool, but I only have like 2 cards in hand, so I'm just like... cycling
to that point, you're just trying to find Tutelage again.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So it's all right. I'm testing it out.
Yeah, I found it hard to, like, there's many times where I could, like, cast a turn 4 or turn 5, and I end up kind of holding on to it because I'm like, I had a couple other creatures in that deck. I was waiting for them to kind of remove them first, knowing that they're going to get rid of this guy,
right?
Or just like needing to leave up a counter and not having the mana until like another 2 turns after, so like turn 6, where I have like 6 mana, if I have 6 mana, to have a chance to play, and so I'm going to keep up the gate open or something like that.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, it sounds awesome, and it's great. It's amazing when you actually get the chance to, like, discard 4, and then you draw 5 because you're also doing your upkeep draw as well. So you draw 5, and the 5 triggers on that thing or whatever, and it's like holy fuck, look at all those cards getting milled. But it's very difficult for it to actually happen.
Yeah. So let me preface this with saying that I've only played a handful of games on MTGO,
mm-hmm.
Especially with this deck. Only played a couple, so these are just...
Are you, like, playing in the modern rooms with it right now, or what are you doing?
I go in the freeform room,
okay,
because then you can play whatever you want, and then I just put, like, in the notes, like, Frontier only. And then half the time people come in and go, like, oh, well, what's... I just joined to see what Frontier was, and I'm like, fuck, dude, now I got started.
Click on my name and message me, asshole.
So now I put Frontier only... And then in parentheses, Google it.
Nice.
Or like people, I know there's a format called Penny Dreadful or something like that.
Really?
I forget exactly what it is. But people always join and like, oh, this isn't Penny Dreadful. I'm like, no.
I
this
look isn't. That up. I haven't heard
it's
of
like
that.
A super like cheap format. That's the whole point, is like, okay, it's super cheap. So I'm running a one of Goblin Dark Dweller.
No.
Just because of the... The Roast, the Cathartic Reunions, and the Burn Spells.
Okay. So that's a solid card.
Yeah, solid card. And also, this is maybe too cute. I'm not sure. 2 Wretched Griffs. It's the 7-drop Emerge for 6. When you cast it, draw a card. So I'm hoping to get Chasm Skulker big enough.
Okay, I get it now.
And then sacrifice it to Wretched Griff.
Since you said that, I'm like, I don't, I'm already going,
So it's a 3/4 flyer, and it draws a card, but to be able to sacrifice a big Chasm Skulker, like I said, it might be too cute. We'll see. I'm not really sure. And then also 4 Treasure Cruise, because, of course.
Yeah.
And then in the sideboard...
Because it's legal right now.
Yeah, so in the sideboard, it's very heavy for control matchups. Dispels, Disdainful Strokes, Negates... Unsubstantiates, and two more Roasts.
You don't have stuff for the aggro decks, like the Tarka Reds you're going to face?
I don't, just because I was just using the cards that like I had.
Gotcha.
So I'd probably throw in like some sort of red board wiper, something like that. So this is, I mean, I do have the Galvanic Bombardments and the Fiery Impulse,
throwing Orbs of Warding in there, gives you hexproof. Does 1 damage each attacking creature.
That'd be great. That's the deck right now. Like I said, I want to build that graveyard deck. It's basically my deck that I'm trying to make work in Standard right now, and it's not working. And so maybe I'll be able to make it work in Frontier, and we'll see how that goes. But we still need to get like a heavy grasp on the meta, and also.
I still feel like it's the same thing. Like, our meta is our meta. Like, we can look at what's going on out there.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of a breakdown of how we want to play and what decks we're going
to
play.
Right, exactly. But I mean, like, it's good to know what's out there and what is prevalent, because I build my decks according to the meta in general. I don't build it for our specific meta.
Yeah, that's true too. I mean, like, sideboard wise and things too.
Yeah. So like, for example, my modern deck, my modern 8-rack deck, I have 4 of the kill target non-zombie, non-vampire, whatever that fucking one.
Victim of the Night, I think?
Yeah, Victim of the Night. I run 4 of those because it's just a good card and it hits a lot of stuff. And I know that Hot Sauce has a fucking zombie deck, a green-black fucking zombie deck in Modern, but I don't take those out.
Yeah, yeah.
I just, you know.
Playing it as if you're playing, like, a real shop or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Playing it to, like, oh, like, that's why, and the reason, like, for our Commander stuff, you're now playing a bunch of Brea and it's all artifacts. I've shown you multiple huge artifact hate cards, like, I've gotten or have. Mm. None of those are actually in the deck, really. Like, maybe one or two that deal with some things, but, like, Hercule's Recall, I could put that in there. It's not in there. There's that kill switch where it's an artifact itself, and you pay 3 mana, I believe, and you tap it, and it taps all other artifacts, and they don't untap as long as kill switch is untapped.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can decide to leave it tapped.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I can make it so you can't do anything until you rebuild all your other artifacts, and, like, it'd be a dick. But, yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah.
And that's not, like, I don't know you're playing an artifact deck, you know, quote unquote, if we're playing in a shop.
Right.
So, like, that's, you know, so not, yeah, a card I'd necessarily play.
You know, like, I might throw in a card or two in the sideboard specifically for one of your guys' decks. Just like you guys did with my fucking mill deck, you know, you'd put that one artifact that shuffled everything
Elixir
back.
Yeah, Immortality.
Yeah. And, like, that's fine. If you put it in the sideboard, whatever.
It also comes down to, like, once we start getting, like, our decks to that tier one of that format, then it's like, okay, well, if I don't put this in, I can't beat that deck. I have to have a way. Like, well, I have to increase my odds because right now I'm losing too much.
Yeah, and it's fine. Like, sure, I have 4 dead cards game one. But game two, then I'm able to, you know, kind of make my deck better against this specific matchup. So, yeah, those are the decks we have so far. If you have any awesome ideas for Frontier decks, you should give us an email or hit us up on Twitter with a link to, like, Tapped Out or something like that. Also, we are so goddamn close to finishing the If Lands Could Kill Conspiracy Cube.
Oh, yeah, we worked on it on this Thursday, so we're casting on Sunday morning right now.
Yeah, we're casting on Sunday morning. We worked on it a lot. What was it, Friday or Thursday or fucking?
Yeah, we drafted and was it?
It was Friday because we watched Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
We drafted the rest of the conspiracy box I bought a while ago, and we were able to fill some more spots, and then we're pooling all of our cards together, and so I think we have like $100 left in cards.
I think I brought another like 10
purchase.
Bucks in now, so we're like 90
yeah, we're,
bucks
we're
left.
We're getting closer.
So
Hot Sauce bought all the sleeves. We're going to get a nice box for it, and we just need to still have a discussion on the cuts, because it is going to be a 360 card cube, so there's, out of all the cards, there's 64 cards we need to cut out of it.
It's pretty exciting. It's our first official cube. So, like,
yeah.
I mean, you had your Pheasant one that you kind of did, you know, a long time ago.
But that was just like, okay, I'm throwing cards in here and I'm not really paying attention to the number of cards total in the cube. I'm not paying attention to what archetypes and how many colors and all that stuff.
It was mostly like throwing your old, like, gate crash cards together.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, oh, these are all my jank sitting in a box. Let's play them.
Yeah. And that was totally fun. But this I'm putting into a website called Cube Tutor, and it spits out all this awesome information, gives you the percentages and breakdowns of all the guilds, converted mana cost, cards, this and that and the other. So this is going to be really exciting. Once we get an official list, we will be posting it I guess on Twitter, since we don't really do shit with our website anymore.
Yeah, well, Reich was the one that was revamping that, and then his computer crashed, and then he said, like, it got fucked up last time he looked at it, and I'm sure he hasn't looked at it since.
Yeah, so
we're, yeah, mostly on Twitter right now.
Yeah, so go ahead and send us your Frontier deck ideas at iflandscouldkill@gmail.com. Look out for episode 100. It's gonna be fucking sexy, and we have quite the surprise for you. And one last thing, what you got, Crow?
So before you went into, like, the next thing was, I wanted to say, I find it funny, our personal meta game here as our group, I find it funny that Sauce doesn't, like, consider himself like a spike type of player, But really, he's a fucking spike player. Because every time we play like a new standard, like a new, he wants to build a new deck and standard or a new format, he pretends like he doesn't go for that like tier one deck, like he's a brewer like us. But he's saying it's built around Panharmonicon, and that's true. But really, he's just playing Abzan and adding bonus features to it. And so, and it's fine. It's fine. But it's funny because he pretends like he's a brewer, not a spike, and he's a spike.
Well, to be fair, he did brew a very close deck to the Abzan deck that came out of the gate hot.
Yeah.
He had a lot of the pieces in his own brew. I mean, granted, there was different things, but yeah, I mean, somebody in the group's going to play fucking Siege Rhino.
Yeah.
There's going to be one person.
That's my point. It's always Sauce. And you're right. We've talked about it before. Like, he built that Abzan Tier 1 deck beforehand, but even he says it wasn't really about brewing. It's like, these are obviously the best cards. Let's put them in a deck.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, I don't know. It's kind of funny. I like that we're brewers. And I think it's funny that he pretends he's not a spike.
Yeah. I think I posted on Twitter, this was like months ago when people were first talking about the format. And I was like, you know, everyone's busy trying to break fucking Frontier. I'm the one fucking slaving away on these tier three decks, you know. Yeah. Somebody's got to do it, you know. And that's definitely us over here at If Lands Could Kill. That's been it for episode 98. All the shit is in the show notes, so go ahead and give us a holler. And we'll catch you guys next week. I'm Knife City.
So
and
Crow.
And he's Hot Sauce. And we'll catch you guys later.
This is another one of those, like, we're traveling in our car and we're having a good time in the 80s. Like, yeah.
We're going, it's Friday night. Yeah. We just got off work at the bowling alley and the soda pop fountain stand.
Yep, but it starts off with one driver. And they drive to one spot, and one passenger.
Yeah,
and they go to the next spot. Hey, now another passenger.
He, like, throws off his work hat, I'm out of here.
Exactly. And then now all three of them are having a good time. They're waiting for their fourth friend or whatever. And then he, like, slides over the back of the convertible into the back seat, you know. And
they gun it.
And then they pull up next to a car full of girls, and they're like, hey. Yeah. And then the girls are like, as if. And then they drive off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a scene that's happened in many films.
We just described like half
and,
of the 80s.
And the girls thing for sure, real life. They're like, what the fuck? Get out of here, creeps.
I remember one time me and Colin, we went and bought a bunch of Sparks, like you do. And then, like,
like you do.
And we're going to New Gen. And we were like,
also like you do.
Oh, like you do. And then we were like singing the party CD or something. And then we pull up next to these girls. They're like our age. They're drinking Sparks. And they're singing along to some other song. And we're like, no, we're meant to be. They drive off.
That's awesome, though. Yeah. Holy shit. They're drinking Sparks in their car also.
Yeah. And then so we like, we're like, I guess we're going to go to New Gen now and hang out with a bunch of guys.
Did you look in the mirror? Actually, you drove by a mirror and you saw yourselves.
Yeah.
But you were so drunk, you're just like, oh my God, they're cute.
So cute.
And you were wearing makeup.
Again.
Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah, how'd it happen again?
Yeah.